Luke chapter 3, verse 38. Was reading just the other day, and you know, we get down there in verse, let's go actually to verse 19 and 20 and 21, and something takes place to this whole thing, and we get done to this baptism thing, and we get down to verse 23, and it says, Luke 3:23, and it says, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age." Notice it was about 30. So, you know, somewhere, give or take, in there. "Was about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph," because he really wasn't, "which was," now here we go, "was the son of Heli, which was the son of Mahat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi," and it goes all the way down this long list. And I'll save you the grief, and I won't go through that, but it is there for a purpose, as every word is. And we get to verse 37, and we'll start recognizing some names again. And we see, "which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Malaleel, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam," and then this little part right here, "which was the son of God." I just looked at that and thought, boy, there's a sermon in there. And as I look, there's not much of one. But it's worth mentioning because it says he was the son of God. Now, modern Bibles take John 3:16 and says the only son, and it's not the only son, it's the only begotten son. And everybody complains that says, or everybody criticizes and says that, well, Jesus wasn't created. No, he wasn't created. Adam was created, but Jesus was begotten. And I can't explain that to you, but I know the man wasn't involved, so there's the difference. Now, so I thought, well, let's do a little looking at this thing, and let's see what we see here about Adam, because he was the son of God. And it goes right back down from Jesus to Adam. I just thought that was an interesting little tidbit. Let's look here at... let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Now, maybe there's a sermon in this, and Mark or somebody out there will come up with this because he gets some pretty good studies. I got to get his on the website here pretty soon here, but maybe he'll find something out of this. 1:26, it says there, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, etc., etc." That's pretty good. Let us make man in our image. So the Son of God was made in God's image, our, after our likeness. Now, let's look at chapter 3, verse 22, and we'll see it wasn't quite totally, because it says in 22, after this thing is all said and done, and the curses are put on him and everything, he says, "And the Lord God said in verse 22, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." It was just one notch short of being what they needed to be totally. So then they sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken, and drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden. So pretty close. Wasn't he pretty close? Now, let's go here to chapter 5. And it was interesting because as you're going through chapter 2 and chapter 3, and he just suddenly starts talking about this Adam guy. He just all of a sudden mentions his name, Adam, and doesn't say where it comes from. But if you look at chapter 5, way back to chapter 5, and he says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created." Then he lived to be 130 years old, and this type of a thing it says there. Adam lived 130 years, begat a son in his likeness. That's just up until he had a child. Look at verse 5, "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. That's quite a stay. That's a huge nursing home bill. Just totally forget that. But he was 130 when he just had Seth. But we're looking at in the likeness of God. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 7 of Genesis says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So I know the ladies, you know, we're made from dirt. That's just why things are the way they are, is because we're made from dirt. And why are you the way you are? It's because you're made from us. What chance do you have? Now, if we go here to first, let's go here to Romans 5. Romans 5. Okay. Cancel the humor attempt. I will. I'll just be quiet from here on out. Just do the sermon here. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Talking about in verse 13, sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. That's interesting. I mean, you know, they didn't do all the things that he did, but still. But then it says, Adam, meaning referring to Adam, who is the figure of him that was to come. Then it goes on and talks about Jesus Christ. So Adam, made in the image of God, not quite all the way there, eternity-wise, and he was the figure of him that was to come. So then we go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 22. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And this is something, we've talked about this before, that so many people hear that they're a sinner, and for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And they don't realize that, you know, it really isn't made to be a guilt trip, because, sure, everybody sinned. But the bottom line here is it's Adam and Eve that got this whole thing started, and for as in Adam, all die. So it's not that they suddenly started doing some bad things in their life. It's just that this is all because of Adam. Even though Eve is the one that did the act, it was Adam that was considered, well, he was the son of God. And he had almost everything he needed. If he'd have done that one more tree picking, then he would have had everything the way it was right then and there. But God wouldn't let that happen. He wouldn't have that happen. So he was a figure of him that was to come, just a figure, because it collapsed. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to verse 45, down to verse 45. Now let's go to 42. We'll go to 42, then we'll finish this one up. 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul," which we read that in Genesis. So Adam was made a living soul. "The last Adam," who's that? That would be Jesus Christ. Okay? "The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Makes us alive. "Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy," here we are, image of the earthy, "we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Now, wouldn't that be a good set of verses to apply when we talk about sanctification and being set apart? We are set apart. We've gone from the natural body to the spiritual body, even though we're still in the image of the earthy. We also have that heavenly image. There's something. Now, that's the first sermon. Now, wouldn't you like it if my coat is not even done dripping yet and we get to go? No, not yet. We have another one to do here. Yep. That is the record. One more. Wait, don't go yet. Don't go yet. Paul, Luke, Stephen, Nathan, don't get excited. Grandpa's not done yet. Let's go to Philippians. Total sermon, total different change. Going to try this one. Going to try this. I think I know what's going to be the results of this. Is folks are going to be doing some things, and you're going to remember some of these verses, and you're going to quote the verse, and then you're going to giggle, and then go on and do what you're going to go on and do. This is what I think will happen with this. But I want you to think about this. This is not anything deep. This is not anything that I'm going to just put the hammers down on or whatever. I never could do a hammer anyway. Kind of hard. But in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, we see that section we talked about this morning, that we get weary because we're trying to learn these things, but we get tired of these things. Verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Now I know that we have liberty because all things are lawful. We understand that more and more every time we hear about it. But we also know that not all things are expedient. And if it's going to cause somebody to stumble, I mean, there's no law from God that says you can't do that, but it might cause somebody to stumble. The way you behave, the way you act, the way you present yourself in a certain situation, we have all the liberty to be that way because it's, you know, if it's a bad thing, it'll burn up in the judgment seat. And if it's a good thing, based on Paul's teachings, then you're showing some knowledge in your judgment. And could possibly be that you are doing something that is excellent and it's okay, and that's what Christ would have us do. But it also could be very possible that we really shouldn't be quite doing it that way or doing things that way or whatever. So it might cause some people to stumble, more like our children. Most of the time that my family did any activities for any holidays or anything, not that this is not a holiday sermon at all, but I'm just thinking, anytime Mom and Dad had anybody come over, somehow they made me go to bed early. It was a go to bed early. Does that happen? Do you? I might go to bed early tonight. We got some folks coming. We're going to play pinochle. And there's no reason not to watch people play pinochle, but for some reason I couldn't watch them play pinochle. And maybe Mom and Dad didn't want me to act or behave like some of the pinochlers. Maybe that wasn't the game. It was what they were doing. I don't know. I never snuck a peek because I laid down in bed. I guess I just fall asleep, I guess. I don't know what I did. All things are lawful, but it shouldn't have a power over us. So we must maintain control all the time we're doing it. Is the TV wrong in itself? No, but if you can't get up from it, they've got a problem. Videos, DVDs, other than the fact that they put on what they put on, and some of the commercials and the games and stuff, and some of the subliminal stuff, keep all those things in mind. But in itself, if you can't get up, then that's part of the problem. It's got a power over you. And when we go places and we act and we behave and we do things the way we do, are we in control of our gooner? Are we thinking about what it is we're doing and behaving, and do we have to do that? Well, we should, because if you can't control yourself, that's the problem. That's the stumbling there, or that's the problem that you maybe shouldn't be doing that. Edify. Does it edify children? Does it edify the people that are there? Is it expedient? Is it the right thing to do? Is this a thing to be doing? Or is it an occasion for the flesh? Is your flesh just taken over and you're going to do it because, you know, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to be this way. I heard somebody today on an email thing I was getting into, and they said, well, I just do this because I'm comfortable in this and I'm okay with this. I like this. Okay. I'm surprised, because it wasn't just a couple of years ago, you would never have dressed like that. That was kind of the comment. And, well, I'm okay with it now. So I guess that makes it right. So as we are trying to learn to grow in this knowledge and in judgment, and learn to approve things that maybe last week we're okay with it, and this week we're thinking, now I wonder, did he spoil something else here? No, I don't mean to. And I just want you to think about this. I mentioned it this morning. And that is there a difference between fun and to enjoy something? Oh, he's going to do that one tonight, huh? Well, he's not going to change. You're going to change my way of doing things. Well, you know, we realize from Paul that we're supposed to grow up. And we're supposed to grow up. We'll get to those verses in a minute. So, and we know that Paul in Galatians has said that we're to please God, not men. And sometimes we do things because we want to please ourselves. I can't maintain this all my life, so I'm going to da 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 or whatever. Or sometimes we do things for others because we don't want them to think that I'm such a fuddy duddy, and I don't want them to think that we just don't da 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 da. So we're going to do this anyway. So we're causing them to stumble because sometimes we need to take a stand. Is that what it is? Or does it please God? Does God even care? Is there a difference between fun and enjoy? Well, I was just kind of flipping my thoughts around the other day, and I thought, well, I'll dig up the old 1828, which is where we go for definitions other than in here as such. Well, A, fun isn't in here, so we know that. Well, just back off, because we're going to have fun, okay? You want me to go now or finish the sermon? No. Fun. It's called vulgar merriment. Vulgar merriment is how the word fun is used. And it says in there, it's a low word. Low, L-O-W word. So, it's having a good time, but it's not. It's a vulgar merriment. Compare to enjoy. The word enjoy. Possession with satisfaction. Occupancy of any good thing. Can you pick what that would mean? Enjoy, enjoyment, is possession with satisfaction. Well, I can be totally satisfied with fun. Well, there's still a difference. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, he's going to go to Scriptures and try to show me, huh? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me show you this. I just want you to think about these things as we learn to approve things that are excellent. If we want to have a testimony for people, we can be doing this, and we can be doing this, and we can be doing this, and then this fun enjoyment thing comes along with what I'm going to show you here. You might blow everything right out the window because your little opportunity of funning will show you something here, and you lost everything that you had grown in your testimony up to this point. Is that possible among Christians? Oh, that would never happen among Christians, that we would criticize somebody because of how they behaved during a fun time. What's wrong with having fun? Well, it's a vulgar merriment. It's a low word. Okay, then I enjoyed it. Well, did you enjoy it? And enjoyment is possession with satisfaction. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to have fun with. No, it says all things to enjoy. There's what he uses it as. Really. So where are you going with this thing? Well, it was a couple of years ago, a number of years ago, when Mike Dunleavy mentioned the comment about the word amusement. And that was in my pre-grammar years. And to come to realize that the word, the letter A in front of a word is non, null. Muse means deep thought, close attention, ponder, think closely, to wonder, to think on, to meditate with, to meditate on. So if you put the letter A in front of the word muse, it means no deep thinking, not paying any attention to anything, no thoughts, no pondering, no thoughts about what you're doing, no wonder, no trying to look into this thing, no something to think on and to meditate on. And if you think about some of the things that we do, remember my entertainment sermon showed that many times we get around and do these things and we. My observations are we tend to sometimes forget that we're Christians, not that we get into cussing or anything, but we get loud or we get within mixed company and we start behaving in a manner that isn't really totally proper from male to female or female to male. It becomes all kind of one big happy, fun time. And then somebody would say real quickly, well then, see, I knew it. You are against having fun. No. I think we ought to consider that we should learn to enjoy things. And enjoy means you keep in your not. What do we keep the gooner going. And we just, well, we can still enjoy this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians, now, there's nothing that caused this little mini thing to come up here. It was just a thought that I was coming up with here, and I just kind of stuck on it. And might as well get out of my system here. And you think about it as we go on in life. And there's a serious reason for it when we get to the end here. 1 Corinthians 16:13. let's kind of pick on the men as such here, but whether this be stuck to the men only is hard, you know, in a way it could be applied. But it says here, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. So the man should be watching, and let's be the man. Let's be strong. And lots of times in a fun situation, us men can come home and be in trouble because we didn't act like men or something. Is that possible? I think it's possible for Christians. I really do. Now, look here at Romans 6. So acquit you like men. Let's be the man. Let's be strong here. And let's just consider fun or enjoyment. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Is that a preachable little verse that shows that we should be going from funnin' to enjoy? Is that how that would be? When we were young, before we were saved, we would have fun. But if we want to behave the same way or do the same things or play in the same way we used to do before we were saved, well, it was fun then, and why can't it be fun today? Well, let me ask you that. Is there a way to pull the stuff we used to do before we were saved? It was fun. But now that I'm saved, I probably shouldn't do that. I probably shouldn't behave that way at a game table. I probably shouldn't behave that way outside. I probably shouldn't behave that way at a bowling alley or something. Can you go bowling and enjoy? Can you do these things and still enjoy them? Well, not if we can't have any fun doing it, Pastor. I don't know. Just think about this. We're supposed to go from the infirmity of our flesh, the way we were before we were saved, to a new creature. And the word that God uses is enjoy. And fun appears to be an earthy behavior, an earthy thing. It's a low word, it says. It's kind of like down in the dumps, kind of a, we don't even want to mention it. Kind of like divorce was 50 years ago, kind of a thing, you know. And a vulgar merriment, a low word. And again, enjoy, possession with satisfaction. I'm doing what I'm doing. I enjoy it. I'm satisfied with it. And maybe that's the difference between a child and an adult. You know, I say things like, when we come home, we want to relax. And the kids go, that's boring. No, you get to a certain age, that's called relaxing. It may be boring to you. No, come on, kids, it's snowing out. It's just beautiful out. Let's go pull the curtains back, honey, and let's just get some hot chocolate and some stuff, and let's just sit here and let's just think about, look at that flake, and it's so different than that flake, and that flake, and that flake. And the kids are going, how long do we have to do this? You know? And this isn't fun. And then somebody, I might as well pick on you too, I guess. I don't know. Just somebody says, isn't this just enjoyable? And we have a mess on the carpet to pick up. Kids go, this is horrible. How long do we have to do this? Is that all I'm talking about here? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Sorry, kids. Let's look here to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Where do you think I'm going to go when I'm talking about children, this type of a thing? We're going to go to verse... anybody grab it out of the blue there? This is okay. 14. See, we're not to be children anymore. And what is a child? Well, child is something who's tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, you know, your kids go to see mom, and you know, quite often, kids can go to be one of them, and they can follow what they're being taught. Then they go to this other one; they'll be willing to follow what they're being taught there. Then they go over here to Uncle Seymour, and Uncle Seymour teaches them some certain things, and they're willing; they're all right. And they go to the school; they learn some things from there. They come home and they learn some things that are different from mom and dad, and that's what kids will do. And we as adults, as Christians, are not supposed to be that way. We ought not be tossed to and fro. We know doctrine. We know reproof. We know what's correction. We know what instruction and righteousness should be. We're getting there. We're growing. Again, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. We're learning these things. So, it looks like one of the things that Christians ought to do is we ought to kind of grow up. And I'm not one to talk about this, so don't sit there and go, well, yeah, that's right. You ought to... No, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So we don't want to be the child, do we? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're not going to go to 10. We all know verse 10. But he does say in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, for now we see through a glass. Okay. Than face to face, and it grows. So what we have here, again, we have another example of a child, a description of a child, and I'm sorry to the children that they don't like to be looked upon like this. They don't like to be looked upon as a child. Then we get into this stuff about 19 years on down, God didn't even hold them accountable in the wilderness journey and for going off to war and the whole thing, and it looks to me like that's kind of where they considered was a child. Well, who's going to tell that to a teenager today? And that's not my intent. My intent is to show us, is there a difference between funnin' and enjoying? And as a Christian, should we do the fun thing or should we enjoy? Should we have some thought behind what it is that we're doing? Is it going to be a problem? Is it going to be da-da-da-da? And maybe that's why some of the things we talked about this morning, because we said we're getting so weary. Well, you know, sometimes I just want to have I need a brainless activity. I need to sit down and do something that's totally gooner-free. Why? Why would we have to do that? You know the thought process you go to when you go by Bright's Canyon. I do anyway. I got to go have some thinking before I go there, and if I think too much, I won't stop. So I haven't stopped there for a long time. Isn't that terrible? In fact, I haven't even got your sugar plums for this. We got to get down there before they're gone. Well, would that be a fun thing? Is that an enjoyment thing? Well, if it makes Bob and we smile, is it fun or is it enjoyment? Well, here's why I'm saying this is important. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I have another sermon penciled out. I don't know if I'll ever give it. I want to, so I guess I should, because it is penciled ready to go. And I don't want to give it because I'm afraid it'll hurt people. Since when has it ever bothered you? It bothers me. I don't mean to do that. I really don't mean to do that. You gotta know that. Just like Paul says, you know, we don't mean to do that. But it has to do with why so many kids that have grown up have gone into modern Christianity, if in any Christianity at all. And I've made so many contacts with former kids, and I know their parents, I know their teachings they were brought up with, and some of them are very strict, and some of them weren't. And I'm very amazed at how far they've gone away from what they were taught. And I wouldn't call Facebook Facebook, I would call Facebook rebellion book in most cases. Not always, of course not always. I've had some good conversation with some people on there that are very interested in the Paul thing, and they're interested in some of the things that we've done in our life, and that's fine. But you know, you get on that thing, and most of the time, you might not know what that is. That's just an internet thing where everybody's on there. You find your friends. They come home from shopping, and they type in there, just got back from, the name of the person is. Then it says, is just returning from shopping. Been a long day. Poof, that's it. And what it is, it's a computer way of fellowship, is what I see it. I do, because some people don't have anybody to talk to. And these may be some of their friends in the past or whatever. And you go to their profiles, and you can see all that they represent and they stand for. and you can get into these things. But I have to be really honest, and I've been mostly disgusted and disappointed. I shouldn't say disgusted. In some cases, I am. But I'm seeing rebellion being blatantly typed. That if their parents were to read that, I think they would be very hurt. Or the parents have given in. I mean, I don't know. I'm not pressing any issues. And I've probably met all that I needed to meet in my past students, whatever. And I'm not going to get in there and squabble about this stuff. And I'll probably drop the thing here in about a week or so. Because there's no point. It's one of those questions. And they're not going to hear it anyway. But my statement is this. Why have our youth today gone where they've gone? And I don't mean it to be a slam on anybody. I that's why I hesitate to give it. But I was talking with somebody about a week or so ago, and we were talking about that. And I was just jotting down thoughts as I was getting them about what the older people can learn, what we've learned in our past, and know where we did what we did, or other people, or whatever. And so why am I saying that? Because if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, I may give that sometime, I may not. It's interesting to me. Or is it just one of those things, the old guy goes down to the mall and sits on a bench and talks to the other old guys and say, well, you know, this is the way it was when da-da-da-da. No, I don't think so. Because something's going on here in America that's really terrible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we know this whole list of things here, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and this type of thing. But we get down to verse 4, we see traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And one of the characteristics, this is Christianity, this is a modern Christianity description here, because it says having a form of godliness, but denying the power there. So it's an imitation. And that's what we're supposed to turn away from. However, something is leading people into this thing, which will be worshiping the Antichrist. We know that type of a thing. And there's no truth to it, and there's no living God behind it at all. And that statement where it says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, if you put your gooner behind what we do, then we want to make sure that what it is that we do in our enjoyment times, it was something that would be pleasing to God. We want to remember that those things we talked about in that sermon, how we behave and the quietness and the enjoyment, but the mixing and all the things that we talked about that could be such a problem. Is becoming such a problem. There is a huge attraction to modern Christianity because it's fun. It's just fun. Why are the games the way they are? They're fun. Why is DVD videos more fun than TV? Because DVD videos are more fun than TV. Although in a couple months you'll have this plasminated TV screen the size of your living room wall, and you'll be watching fish, and you can actually smell them. There'll be a scratch and sniff screen, and you can just really get into this thing, and it's like you're there. And who doesn't want that? You know? So it's fun. It'll be fun. Christianity, the music, is fun to these people. Fun to these kids. The way they dress, it's fun. This one girl said, I was covered up. I was never allowed to wear this, I was never allowed to wear that, I was never allowed to do this, I was never allowed to hang those, I was never allowed to show any skin, and da-da-da-da, and now, it's fun. That's what it is, what they're saying, it's fun. They're lovers of pleasures, plural, pleasures, more than lovers of God. Their church is fun. They go in there, and they've got the statue of their pastor out in the lobby, or they've got a fountain they have to walk by. I don't know what's so fun about that, but they got a fountain they got to walk by in these churches. They got these great big huge churches. They're just fun to go to. I mean, they're just gorgeous, and they're just got all this stuff. And there's a church. I forgot where was that. Somebody sent me the picture out in front of the church. They've got their little pond. I'm sure it's not a pond. What would they call them in these resort places? What, is that a pond? I guess a pond is a pond. And out of this pond comes Jesus with his hands spread out like great big huge, half like Mount Rushmore, half of Jesus coming out of there with the beard and the goatee, the Rick Warren thing, and the hair just fluffing and flying everywhere, and these great big huge manly Jewish hands. He's got the hands right anyway, just telling you to come to me kind of a thing. And people see these things, and it's fun. It's fun. Now, did you have fun driving up tonight and slipping and sliding and And I enjoyed it. I went out and I took some pictures tonight. I'll put them on the wall. I enjoyed that. Is that okay? Well, was it fun? No, I enjoyed that. In the last couple of days, I'm trying to get myself to realize I enjoyed this. I enjoyed that. I'm going to go there. I'm going to enjoy that. Driving down the road up to see Grandma, slipping and sliding and clearing the road for people, I enjoyed that. Was it fun? I don't want to say that. I want to say I enjoyed that. I don't want to get in. Now you're going to, I know you're going to catch me 1,000,000,000 times. And is it a big issue? Well, that's what I said. There are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And everybody's heading for being a lover of pleasures. That's just where everybody's headed. Kids apparently didn't have any fun when they were being brought up in homeschooling or being brought up in the Great Commission or being brought up in a school, a private school. They did not have any fun wearing some of the things they had to wear, or God was going to smirk them with some kind of a slap in the back of the head or something. Maybe the garage burned down because some of the evil thoughts the kids had at school about what was going, you know, how they do stuff like that. There's this desire for fun. What when you go to a mall, it's geared for us to what? Have fun. They got things for the kids to play. They've got things for adults to look at, and it's not just stores like ours is. Look at how fun ours is now. You know, I don't know what those walkers are doing, but they must be having a horrible time walking over those rocks and everything that they're trying to get done. It can't be any fun for them. But you know, if they tried to walk through that mall, it could still be an enjoyable time. Could it really? Well, if you think about it, no. Not if you think about it, because we got to think about these things. Remember, fun, vulgar merriment, a low word. It's just, no, what is that? Possession with satisfaction. Occupancy, doing something that's a good thing. Enjoying it. Enjoy it. God gave us these things, all these things, to enjoy. Now, some of the things that we have that we say we enjoy, were they given to us by God? That's another question you got to ask yourself. Well, He allowed it. Yeah, but does that mean He gave it to you? And then remember, amuse, amusement. No thinking. You go to the fair to have fun. Because you shut your brain down and you buy these dumb things that light up your cheeks when you stick them in your mouth, and you pay $7 for something like that, and you put these little stars all over your head so when you walk around you go bing, 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 and then that's a fun thing. But if you think about it, it's a waste of money. So an amusement, like Mike said, an amusement park is a place where you go where your gooner's not working, but you have fun. And they take all your money. Now, let's finish this up with Titus chapter 2. Now, what do you thought? Now you did this fun enjoyment thing. I don't care. I'm going to have fun anyway. Well, okay. I'm not trying to deal with that. I want you just to think about the difference between fun and enjoy. And maybe some of the fun you're having, you ought not if you think about it. Well, then don't think about it. But see, we're supposed to think about these things as a Christian. We're supposed to do these things. Now, Titus chapter 2. Now, I imagine most are going to think that I'm whacking on the young people, and I'm not. Don't mean to at all. Titus chapter 2. You know, and don't take this wrong, but kids can have fun. Why? Because they don't have much of a gooner. Oh, they don't? Well, really, our kids don't have much of... Their gooner is clouded. Right? And so it's hard to get them to see what is to enjoy. We do the campfires. We go sit out there at the camper. I'm totally enjoying myself with the front half of my body nice and warm and toasty, and my back half of my body ice cold. I enjoy that. And I'm just sitting right there. I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting right there. And that's no fun. No, I enjoy that. It's an enjoyment. Getting whumped on the pool table. I enjoy that. Is it fun? Think about the word enjoyment instead. And just see if you can't do something on your own personal nature, your own personal application about enjoyment. Put your thinker to work. As compared to no thinking, sure was fun, wasn't it? Because I know this was going to happen. Somebody's going to do something that was just totally brainless and improper, immodest. Oh, I haven't done this since I was six. Excuse me, now think about that. Is that a sin? I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm saying that we're living in a world where all they want to do is have fun and pleasures. And the churches are being revamped to have fun. You ought to be able to go to an old-fashioned church, old-fashioned music, an out-of-tune, tinky-tanky piano, an organ that Lawrence Welk used to have when he was young. Nothing else up here. I mean, it's just carpet, just plain carpet right there. Blue carpet that's getting the squiggles to it down there, and tables for some, and short tables for others, and all this kind of stuff, and really enjoy being here. But it probably isn't fun. And if it is, it's just because you're still mad about the sermon, and you got to think about this, the difference of fun and enjoy. And can Christians have fun? Christians ought to have enjoyment. Christians ought to enjoy things. But that means you got some thought behind it. Pay close attention to what it is that you're doing. Is that liberty going to cause a problem? Is doing that fun thing going to be a problem? Because see, remember, we've been through a series called Sincere Christians. How sincere do we want to be? Now, Titus chapter 2, verse 6. Young men, here we go. And young men to me is anybody under 57. And older than, I don't know. A stupid comment. I'm 0 for 3 on humorous attempts at anything tonight. So we'll just, this must be a very serious subject, I suppose, here. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Likewise, what do you mean likewise? Let's go back and read up for the ladies. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. It doesn't mean that they need to quit drinking. You know? It's just calm, man, calm. Just be in control. It's okay. I imagine sometimes that a man can come home and find the wife not sober. And it doesn't mean that she's soused or anything like that. She's just ready to rip your head off. And that's not sober. That's not in control. And so then he goes, you know, sober, love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So that's an attitude there. There's a presence. There's a demeanor. Is that right? There's a demeanor there for a Christian lady. Then he says in verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, which in a teenage dictionary would probably be horrendously boring, but it just means, you know, in control. What is gravity? Gravity keeps things down, right? So if we could just, you come in, it's like, well, what? Keep it down. We need more gravity in here, kids. Well, they're going to go, you know, what is all this, Mom? Dad, did you listen to that sermon again or something? What's going on here? But this is what it says. It says, a sincerity. Sincerity. Young men, yes, that's okay. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Not only having no evil thing to say of you, but when they say something that is not proper speech, they're ashamed. You've had people like that. They'll slip and they'll say some of these things that they'll say, and hopefully they'll say to you, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were here." That's what I got when I was doing the men down at the mall. The Marine guy, he was just cussing up a blue streak that first day, and then I went back the next day, and Pete had told him that I'm a minister, a pastor, and the Marine guy, he apologized. So, "Oh man, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were a pastor." I said, "Don't worry. I mean, I'm not." The one in charge of judgment, so don't worry about that. But they do. They ought to feel that way around you a little bit. And then he also says in verse chapter 4. Not chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to enjoy my days. And we used to laugh, as people get older, they think, I haven't had fun in a long time, but I'm enjoying my days. Well, maybe fun is just a childish thing, the fun aspect. It doesn't take any brain to have fun, but to enjoy. That's what a Christian ought to do, according to what I see in this Bible. And we say in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. Now, he's talking to Timothy directly here. Let no man despise thy youth. But I would have loved to have been out in that tractor tonight, driving around, plowing, and doing, putting a blade behind my vehicle and just do what you did. That would be so fun. I mean, you have no idea. I would have known exactly what time it is. Correct it, because I would have done this. I'd have turned a little bit, and I'd admit there's no guy. I'd have done the sidewalk. You know, I think that hill was a little too high in the summer, the grass right there. So maybe if I kind of get in there, I can do Pastor a favor and kind of scrape that little, like I think you tried it. Try to lower that grass and just enjoy. Man, you got parents that got a tractor. My parents had a rackety, rackety, rackety lawnmower, which I tried to shovel a sidewalk with, which is really a dumb idea. That doesn't work. Thought that might work, you know. Snow like the snow blowers. Doesn't work, Austin. And you're out there. You guys are out there. Man, a youth, that's a Lutheran term. Kids, young people that have what we have today, man, it's a marvelous thing. So don't let that be a dollar. You might not have an understanding that other people have in adulthood, but don't be in a hurry for some of that stuff, because it's like, who wants to know some of that stuff? So, let no man despise thy youth. For one thing, it doesn't last very long. It doesn't. You guys, it doesn't last very long. You might think that you've got 50,000 million years ahead of you, but you really don't. So, let nobody despise the youth. But, he does say this, but be thou an example. Are the Floyds out there? They're not on there tonight, are they? It'd be too late. Sam? Floyd Hunter. Hello, Sam. You doing Facebook back there? What's going on? Okay, good. Rebellion book. There we go. No, he wasn't. He was slow, but it wasn't that he was one of those things. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation. There's your day-to-day activity. In charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, this is odd, because, you know, this is really to Timothy. And it's to, who's going to come? I think I asked this question a long time ago. I never did follow through. Who is that, till I come? Is that till the Lord comes back? Listen until Paul gets there. That's all it is. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And we know that this is Timothy, because it says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hand of the presbyter. That was way back in the early Acts days, so we don't get into that kind of a thing. We know the rightly dividing of that. But you know, you do have something that you're good at, I'll bet. So there's some great things in here. And I just want you to realize that I think part of growing up is the difference between fun and enjoy. And enjoy is what a Christian ought to do with things. And we ought to grow up past the fun stuff and enjoy it. And if we think about it, maybe we wouldn't do it. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing that we wouldn't quite behave the way we would if we do a certain thing. Or if we're going to do a certain thing that seems to be okay, then enjoy it. But keep your brain going. Because if it starts slipping into fun, you might blow some testimony there for the kids and the grandkids or neighbors or whatever. It's just something I thought of, because a long time ago Mike said that about amusement. No thinker going on. And the trend is pleasures and fun in modern Christianity. We don't want to get into that. But we still need to teach everybody, our kids, how to enjoy something. Should I ask? Do you boys enjoy sitting in a chair, feet up, munching down some M&M's and popcorn, counting the snowflakes coming down at 11 o'clock at night, and just kind of humming a couple hymns or something, and the kids are going, we don't do that. Anyway, so don't ask. You know what? Are there things, that, you know, Olivia, are there, well, you know, are there some, do you enjoy playing piano? Every time? Yeah, there we go. Well, you probably enjoy every lesson. Good answer. But that's okay. Can I lie? Is this okay? Is this one of those lies I can get away with that? My desire is to have you enjoy your lesson, but not have fun. And then you're thinking, well, he's got that part down. No, I want you to enjoy it, what you're learning, and the playing of it, and the satisfaction of playing a song all the way through. And that's very enjoyable. But we don't gear it to have fun. But I know you bring me cookies because you want me to have fun. But I enjoy the cookies. Do you tell people, boy, I sure had fun eating those cookies? No, I enjoy those cookies. No, I'm just stretching this out. No, I just want us to get this fun enjoyment thing. Does that make sense to you guys back there? I mean, you know, you're out there 200 degrees and you've got wheat stuff, you know, in your ears, up your nose, everywhere. And it probably isn't any fun. I mean, you're just like 1 mile an hour. You know, a mouse can run faster than you guys are driving. And probably no fun, but you should enjoy that. Because a whole lot of kids can't do that. I've ridden and I enjoyed that. I don't want to think of it as fun. I want to think of it as enjoyment. When I was driving the tractor across the bridge, I think I was having fun. I think that's what happened, because I wasn't thinking. You know? And I think there's something to this. I just haven't nailed it down yet. So think about it and deal with it. Just remember that I guess the seriousness is the fact that these modern churches are going after fun. So they're sucking the kids in because it's fun.